You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 9th of November 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, once again, our old friend, the It's OK to Be White slogan, is in the news. Police have launched a hate crime probe after A4-sized posters saying It's OK to Be White were plastered around Basingstoke. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, isn't it, that it's considered to be a hate crime simply to say that it is okay to be white. I talked about this before in a podcast around about the time I did the hate speech and hostility one, pointing out the reasons why people use this slogan. It's because there are constant attacks on white people in the media. We're constantly being told that our ancestors were no good, our ancestors enslaved the other races, we oppressed these other people. It's all because of white people, all the problems that the other races have, all the differences in life outcomes, the reasons why there aren't black business directors, the reasons why there are more black people in prison than their percentage of the population. All of these things, we're told, are because of white racism. So the It's OK to Be White slogan is a response to that. It is saying, actually, it's OK to be white. You don't need to be feeling guilty about being white. That's the point of this. How is that hateful to say that? Now, I suspect that the reason why these people consider it to be hateful is because they think that when we're saying it's okay to be white, we're implying that it's not okay to be anything else. And that's not what it is saying. That is not what it is saying at all. And why anybody would think that that was what the implications were, I don't understand. The point of it is that it's a simple, unoffensive phrase, just saying that it's okay to be white. There's no implication there that it's against other races at all. And yet this is the way that it seems to be taken, even though we've been very clear and upfront about the purpose of this. And it even states in the article later on what the purpose of the It's Okay to Be White campaign is. And yet they still imply that it's somehow hateful. The posters were placed on display outside a college, on lampposts, along major roads, and on school routes in the Hampshire town on Thursday. Now, who is it that is most likely to be affected by this negativity about white people? Being told that whites were responsible for slavery, whites are the reason why black people don't do so well at school, or the reason why there are more of them in prison. The people that are most likely to be affected by this and to get a guilt complex from it are going to be students, aren't they? It's going to be people that are being taught this in school, people that are being taught all about Black Lives Matter and that the police are just killing black people out of racist hatred for the skin colour. They're the people that are most likely to be affected by this. So they're the people that are most likely to be pleased and happy when they see something like this. So that's probably the reason why it's been posted outside of a college and on school routes in the Hampshire town. The Hampshire Constabulary has confirmed it is treating the incidents as a hate incident after shocked local residents alerted the force last week. I mean, it's just incredible that anybody could think that they should tell the police because somebody says it's okay to be white. Somebody says something quite innocent and quite unoffensive, and yet they think the police should somehow be involved, and that that hatred is a motive behind it. It's not hatred, is it, to say it's okay to be white? Would people consider it to be hateful if people were to say it's okay to be black? It's okay to be Chinese? No, nobody would think anything of it. They would think, well, why is it people are saying it's okay to be Chinese? Is there anywhere that's saying it isn't okay to be Chinese? And of course there isn't. But everywhere we're being told that it's not okay to be white, or that is the implication of the narrative, basically, if you want to call it that. The posters were also reported to Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council and the Highways Agency, which confirmed it would remove them as soon as possible. And of course, we often see stickers that have been put up by Antifa and communist groups and political organisations, and it's very rare that the council will actually clean these things up and pull them down. But they'll go into overdrive to remove anything that talks positively about the Indigenous British people, basically, the people that built this country. Residents initially began ripping the posters down themselves, but more emerged in the following days. And it's interesting, they don't provide any counterbalance in this article at all. They don't interview anybody that is associated with the It's Okay to Be White movement to get their side of things. They don't interview somebody who would explain the reason for putting these posters up. They don't mention that obviously there is somebody that supports this idea because they have actually been putting the posters up. It's all extremely one-sided, and that's because the National Union of Journalists guidelines that the journalists have to sign up to are extremely one-sided. They say that you should never portray the so-called far right in a positive light. You should not interview them. If you do have to mention anything that the so-called far right have said, you have to contradict it, and you have to go to an authoritative source like Hope Not Hate to get a comment. And this is the formula that we see in all these articles that actually talk about the so-called far right. And of course, Hope Not Hate are completely discredited. A lot of the information on their website is just made up, basically. Tommy Robinson exposed them and Panorama for faking information about him, and yet they're considered to be an authoritative source, and they are basically communists. They're an offshoot of the Searchlight organization. And again, this formula that this article follows, they ask Hope Not Hate about what happened later on. According to the council's own data, 88.2% of the population of Basingstoke was white British in the 2011 census, higher than the average of 80.5% in England and Wales. And again, what does this have to do with the It's OK to Be White campaign? It's not actually talking about demographics. It's talking about this idea of white guilt that is instilled in people. That's the point of the campaign. It's not based around demographics, although, of course, demographics are a concern. 4% were Asian or Asian British, 1.7% mixed or multiple, and 1.1% Black African Caribbean or Black British. The percentage of ethnic minority groups in the borough almost doubled between 2001 to 2011, a report added. So that is quite concerning, isn't it, for their number to double just in 10 years. I mean, if it keeps doubling in 10 years, it's only going to be 40 years before white people are a minority, and that is a concern. But the reason why they're pointing this out here is because they're saying, imagine how shocked and offended one of these Asians or black people or mixed people would be if they saw this simple slogan. But why would anybody be shocked at that? Why would somebody who isn't white be shocked to see a slogan that says it's okay to be white? I don't understand why anybody would be shocked at that unless they thought it was not okay to be white. I mean, that is the whole point of this. Residents have now taken to writing over the slogan with a marker pen to make it read, it's okay to be trans and dyslexic, and it's okay to be gay, Well, yeah, it's okay to be whatever you want to be. It's okay to have whatever identity you have. The whole point of this is because it's only white people that are told that it's not okay to be white. And the fact that the police are calling it a hate incident, and the fact that people are calling up the council and calling up the police on this, it just proves the slogan, doesn't it? It proves that there is this narrative that it is not okay to be white. Basingstoke resident Priya Brown told the BBC that she believes the posters were erected by a neo-Nazi and white supremacy group. Now, where would she get that from? I mean, it's okay to be white is usually put up by individuals that have sympathy for white people. They don't have to be a member of some kind of group. And why does somebody that puts up these posters that is concerned about their own extended kinship group, why does that mean they're a neo-Nazi? Why does it mean they're a white supremacist just because they care about their own ethnicity? I mean, it's essentially just caring about your own family, isn't it? Everybody cares for their own family. Nobody thinks that that is the wrong way to be. And yet all we're doing here is we're caring for our extended family in the same way that we see black people caring for their extended family. They have Black Lives Matter. We see Jews caring for their extended family. We have the campaign against anti-Semitism, the Community Security Trust. I mean, there's various Jewish organizations that show concern for their ethnic group, which is great. It's wonderful. That's exactly the way people should be. And yet, as soon as somebody shows concern for the white people group, that suddenly becomes a hate incident and they get called neo-Nazis and white supremacists in the newspaper. Priya Brown said these posters were on school routes and a lot of people, including kids, have seen them. Well, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, that's who you would hope would see them and would think, well, actually, yeah, it's okay to be white. It's nice to know that somebody cares about me. Because all the teachers keep telling me is how terrible my ancestors were. So it's very nice that there is somebody out there, at least one person, who says it's actually okay to be me. And so you would hope that kids would see them and would be pleased to see them, to think that there is somebody out there that does care about them and that does think that it's okay for them to actually have the identity that they were born with. This Priya Brown continued, "My friend, who was walking the dog at around 7:30 a.m, alerted me about it. Later, I saw it on the way to school with my children. This wasn't nice, and it was on every single lamppost on Cliddesden Road." So she says this isn't nice. It's not nice to say it's okay to be white. So I would say that was a very hateful thing to say. Very hateful to say that it's not nice to think that it's okay to be a white person. She said, "Later I had a governor's meeting as well at the Basingstoke College of Technology, and that's how I found out that they were outside the college as well. There were a couple of residents who were quite upset about it. They removed some of these posters. My friend's husband also took down as many posters as possible." Well, these residents who are quite upset about it, I should imagine if they actually spoke to somebody, if they actually spoke to the person that put the poster up, I'm sure they would no longer be upset about it because they would understand that it's just simply saying that it's okay for people to be white. It doesn't mean that it's not okay to be anything else. It's just saying that it is okay to have the identity that you are actually born with and drawing attention to the fact that it is only white people who are being told that it is not okay to be white. I mean, it's a fantastic campaign. It's such a successful campaign because this is what happens whenever anybody puts these posters up. The media just expose themselves for being so hateful, because what we're actually seeing here is an example of positive ethnocentrism. And the media doesn't know how to respond to positive ethnocentrism. All it knows how to do is to hate on white people and hate on nationalists. So when they see nationalists expressing love for their own extended kinship group, they just respond with hate because that's all they know how to do. So they claim that the love that is being expressed here is in actual fact hate. And when they do that, they expose themselves as being the real haters. And that is the point of this campaign. Now, this article here, it explains this. It explains the reason for the campaign. It says the It's Okay to Be White campaign was reportedly created on popular internet forum 4chan as an alt-right slogan in the United States back in 2017, according to the Anti-Defamation League. And that's where this authoritative source comes up, because the National Union of Journalists authoritative sources are always these left-wing, anti-fascist, anti-racist, pro-communist groups. And the main one in America is the Anti-Defamation League. So they go to the Anti-Defamation League for the information on this, instead of going to the people that actually promote this sort of thing. I mean, really, they should go to somebody in Patriotic Alternative. And I'm not suggesting it was anybody from Patriotic Alternative that put this poster up. But if, just in the interest of balance here, they should go to somebody who does advocate for white people and ask them for the reason why this is a slogan and why there is a campaign to do this and why people do it, just so there's balance in the article. The saying was adopted by neo-Nazi groups and politically organized racists, including former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard David Duke. And of course, Dr. David Duke hasn't been in the Ku Klux Klan for about 40 years now, I think, and yet they always have to put former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard before his name. He's a human rights campaigner for the human rights of all peoples. I don't necessarily agree with him on all of his views, but he's basically standing up for the various peoples of the world, and he's no longer associated with the Ku Klux Klan. What they're trying to do here is use that as an ad hominem. They want people to think that the It's Okay to Be White campaign is linked to the Ku Klux Klan, and it isn't linked to the Ku Klux Klan. It's just a campaign, and any individual who is concerned about white people will put these posters up. It's very cleverly thought out, because the posters themselves are always used the same lettering as well. So it gives the impression of a sort of worldwide movement, as it were, when really it's just individuals taking their own initiative and putting these posters up. But they have to smear the people doing it and claim that they are neo-Nazi groups or politically organized racists. Why don't they just tell the truth? It's just white people that are concerned about other whites. Why is that so wrong, to be concerned about your extended family, to be concerned about your extended kinship group? I mean, it's just a natural thing to be. You would imagine that cats are concerned with cats, aren't they? Cats like hanging out together with other cats. They don't really want to be living alongside the dogs, do they? We just accept that as being something quite normal. And yet when you get white people that say, well, we like living amongst our own people, we love our own people, we're told this is wrong. This is the wrong way to be. We should be talking about what a great strength it is to have multiculturalism and to have diversity and to be living alongside people with a completely different culture and completely different societal norms to our own. Which, of course, is just going to cause friction, isn't it? It's going to cause friction, and it's going to cause division. When it causes division, it means that the people cannot unite together to make changes to government policy. That's the reason why our governments like to promote it. They will say diversity is a strength, but it's just division, basically. And division isn't a strength. A house divided against itself will not stand, as we were told in the New Testament. So this is the reason, real reason, for promoting diversity. It's to prevent white people from organizing around their identity. Because obviously your ethnic identity is going to be stronger than any ideology that you have. Blood is always thicker than water, as they say. Doesn't matter what a member of your family does, they're still a member of your family. And it's the same with ethnicity. It doesn't matter what members of your ethnicity do, they don't stop being a part of your ethnicity, and you should be able to hold them to the same standards that you have. I mean, this is the issue. All of these problems that we have, that a lot of nationalists will like to try and blame on these other people groups, these problems have all been caused by ourselves. They've been caused by members of our own ethnicity in the establishment. And effectively, that means that it's exactly the same people that we are that have caused these problems. And we might say, well, we wouldn't fall for the temptation. We're far better than they are. But you don't know. They're made up of exactly the same biology that we are. And if they're looking at themselves as being individuals, and we're only, by the grace of God, we're nationalists, and we understand that we should be thinking in terms of the group. But if we just thought of ourselves as individuals, who's to say that we wouldn't make the same decisions that they have? So the only real way to resist this and to fight against it is to improve your own self. Self-improvement is the answer to this. And the more of us that actually work on that and work on being virtuous and good people, the more of an effect we will have on society. And the more that we are seen doing that, and the more we identify as nationalists, the more we will be attacked in the media. And the more we're attacked in the media for actually doing good things and being good people, the more people are going to question what's going on, and the more people are going to want to join us. I mean, that's the thinking behind this positive ethnocentrism. The more positive ethnocentrism we can do as nationalists and we can do publicly, the better things are, because it exposes our opponents for being the really hateful people, rather than us. The aim of the slogan was to create a left-wing media backlash in response to a harmless message. So the article tells us here exactly what the aim of the slogan was, and yet they still pretend that it's somehow hateful and how shocking it would be for people that aren't actually white to see this. And yet they know what the point of it is, and yet they just cannot help themselves but attack the people putting the message up. Posters originally began being placed around American universities, including the University of Washington and the University of California, as well as the University of Regina in Canada. However, similar posters appeared in Bristol City Centre in January last year, the first time they had appeared in England. It's incredible, isn't it, the way that they're tracking this this dangerous slogan that says that it's okay to be ethnically white. They did, though, appear in Scotland just a few months earlier, so the Scottish were the first. Police Scotland received reports of the slogan appearing in Dundee in September 2019, followed by Perth in December. A spokesperson for Hampshire Constabulary said, "We were made aware of a number of posters that were placed on lampposts on Clidderston Road, New Road, and near Basingstoke College of Technology. Some of the posters have since been removed, and Basingstoke and Deanborough Council's street cleaning team has been tasked to remove them fully. This has been recorded as a hate incident, and we are now liaising with our local community groups. And Basingstoke and Deanborough Council have been contacted for comment." So this has been recorded as a hate incident. I think that believes that means that it doesn't actually stretch as far as a hate crime. But if they can find the person that did this, they will record their details, and their details will show up on one of those probes that they do for if you're looking for work, and it will show up that you've got a hate incident on your record, even though you haven't actually been found guilty of any crime. The police have thousands of these hate incidents, or tens of thousands probably, on people's records, and they may not even know that they've got this on their record. And basically, if somebody says that they're offended by something and they think it was this was incitement to hate, then whether it is or not, the police have to record it as a hate incident. So basically, you can just claim that you're a victim, or that you're acting on behalf of somebody, some other minority, as a victim, and you can get these things recorded, and you can get this put on people's records. And effectively, there's no jury there, there's no trial to see whether it was inspired by hate at all. It's just taken that it must be if somebody makes the denunciation. So it's effectively saying you can just denounce somebody as a witch or a heretic, and the police will then act as if they were. There's no trial. It just requires somebody to denounce you. And it's like we've gone back in time. 300 years to the Puritan age, only instead of it being about Christianity, it's just about hating white people. Now, I pointed out that the reason for this is because there is this narrative that white people are bad, all our ancestors are bad, and that's why people are saying it's okay to be white. And we have another news article here, which is a good example of that. The National Gallery has linked hundreds of its famous paintings to slavery, if somewhat tenuously, in many cases. So you've got very, very famous artists here who have painted some of the most beautiful paintings, and we're now being told that in actual fact they weren't good people for painting these wonderful paintings and gifting them to our civilization and humanity. They were actually terrible people because they lived during the time of slavery. For 3 years, staff have carried out an audit to identify artworks that may have been owned by or were painted by anyone with links to slavery. And of course, that's going to be literally anybody that lived between 1600 and 1900, really, is going to have a link to slavery, because that was the main system of employment during those centuries. Wherever you were, whether you were living in the Turkish world, whether you were living in the New World, we didn't have slavery in Britain, but that was a rarity. But we're not being told that. We're not being told, look how great the British were with their ideas about liberty and freedom, and they didn't have slavery in Britain, and they worked to actually abolish slavery in Africa, which was the centre of it. No, we're not told that. We're told the British were the bad guys. They were the ones that encouraged slavery. So again, this is why people say it's okay to be white, because we're being told it's not okay to be white because white people own slaves. Never mind the fact that Arabs used to own white slaves, and millions of white people were taken from the coasts of Europe and trafficked into Africa and trafficked into Arabia as slaves. We had the Ottoman slave trade, and these countries that the Ottomans occupied, they used to take one white male from every family when they were a child so that they could train them up as janissaries in their armies. And, you know, they took loads of children from Bulgaria and the various other white countries that they occupied. And we're not taught about this. We're just taught about the transatlantic slave trade, which was black Africans selling other black Africans. Nobody ever mentions that the people that were right at the center of this, that were the ones that were harvesting the slaves and then selling them on, were the black Africans themselves. And they were the most resistant to the abolishing of slavery. They were the ones that said, we're never going to stop selling slaves. And we had to use the Navy and the Army and all sorts to stop the black Africans from selling one another. And yet we're told we are the bad guys. So far, they have covered paintings the gallery acquired between 1824 and 1880, resulting in many favourites being tarnished. British masterpieces by the likes of Constable, Gainsborough and Hogarth have fallen under the spotlight, along with works by Renaissance greats Raphael, Titian, Botticelli, whose mystic nativity was once possessed by William Otley, who owned 17 slaves in Antigua. Now, you can transpose that today, and it would be like possessed by William Otley, who employed 17 black people in Antigua. Because that's what slavery was back then. It was the system of employment. White people were also slaves as well. They were sold into indentured servitude. What it meant was that you had a roof put over your head, you had your clothes provided, you had doctors provided, you were kept in good health, you worked in exchange for that, and when you were too old to work, you were still looked after. You still had the roof over your head, you still had all your food. If you produced children, a creche was provided for you, education was provided for you, and you were also able to make your own things on your days off and sell them at the market. And when the slaves were actually freed, their former masters made lots of gifts to them. A lot of them were given land, they were given farming implements, they were given all sorts by their owners, out of gratitude by their owners, because in most cases they were looked on as part of the family. They were looked on as the establishment or the upper classes will look on their servants today. They will often look on them as members of their own family. You only have to look at Jacob Rees-Mogg for that. I mean, he has the same He had the same nanny when he was a child that he now has for his own children, because they looked upon the nanny as a part of their own family. And this is the same way that a lot of these slaves were looked upon. And you only have to look at the original sources to find this out. You only have to go back 200 years and look at what was being written 200 years ago by the people that were involved in owning slaves, and not just the owners, but also the slaves themselves and once they were freed, and you can find this out. It's very modern, this idea that it was somehow a terrible thing. I mean, it was, as I say, it was basically the system of employment back then. So this this William Ottley, I mean, he was basically an employer. And what were these slaves going to be doing if they weren't actually working for William Ottley? Well, they would have been in Africa starving. They wouldn't have had employment. They wouldn't have had a roof over their heads. They would have been at risk of being captured and being eaten by the neighbouring tribes, or being captured and sacrificed. And instead of that, they were fed and they were looked after, and they had a sense of worth, basically, because the slave owner had paid the equivalent of £10,000 for them in today's money. If you're going to spend £10,000 on something, you're not going to mistreat it, are you? If you spend £10,000 on a car, you're going to keep that car clean, you're going to polish it, you're going to wax it, you're going to make sure that it's serviced. And it was the same in most cases with these slaves. Of course, there were instances where there was bad treatment of the slaves, and there were laws against that, and the mistreatment of slaves would be in the newspapers, and it would be talked about in the same way as if somebody had beaten up their wife. It was seen as a terrible thing. It wasn't seen as something that the general people went along with, and all you have to do is just look at the way that white people are today. We're so concerned with the other peoples of the world. We're very charitable people, and we weren't any different back then. If anybody was mistreating their slaves, they were seen as a very, very bad person. They would not have been looked on as being a pillar of the community. A lot of these people that owned slaves, some of them were hospitals, some of them were doctors. They were good people. And this is an artist that owned slaves. And they're saying, because he owned slaves, we now have to tell everybody that he was a bad person. Raphael's Pope Julius II was bought from the collection of John Angerstein, who insured slave transporting ships. Dutch master Rembrandt's self-portrait at the age of 63 was bought from George Broderick, who came from a slave-owning family. So, of course, you're not going to be able to find anyone from the 1800s that did not have a connection to the slave industry. You're certainly not going to find a black person that didn't have any connection to it either. This is the thing, it's all so one-sided, this, going after white people for this. That's why we say it's okay to be white. What do you think white people think when they hear this sort of stuff? They just think, well, it's terrible being a white person. I wish I wasn't white. All my ancestors were dreadful. So we tell them the opposite. We say, no, your ancestors were really good people. You can also be a good person, and it is okay to be white. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.